verses 1 through 11, actually. Hear these words of the Lord for you today. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us this day, that we might know and experience your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Isn't that what we all want? Abundant life, meaningful life, real life. But don't we sometimes look for that in all the wrong places, like in what we are eating or drinking or wearing, and how we live, what we own, how many Facebook friends we have? But what if there's a way to find the true abundant life? What if Jesus was making a real promise to each and every one of us today? Because I believe he is. This passage comes at a very important time in the Gospel of John. Just before this, Jesus heals a man born blind. The disciples see this blind man and they ask Jesus, "Okay, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus says, "Neither. This man was born blind so that the works of God might be revealed in him." And with that, Jesus heals the man who had previously been a beggar and now was going to be part of the community. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they decide to investigate this healing by Jesus because it was done on the Sabbath. They say he can't be from God. He's working on the Sabbath. They all argue about his healing and completely miss the point that this blind man can now see, that Jesus has brought him new and abundant life. By restoring his sight and restoring him to community, Jesus tells this blind man exactly who he is, and he says to the Pharisees, "You are the ones who are really blind." This whole story of Jesus as the gate and the shepherd is addressed to the Pharisees, the people who are not bringing life to their flocks and who cannot see the new life that Jesus brings. This story about the gate, the sheep, and the shepherd is meant to explain who Jesus is and what he does. Jesus ends up using different metaphors for himself in John 10, saying, "I'm the gate, I'm the good shepherd," but they don't seem to understand what he's saying to them. Do we? Do we understand who Jesus is and what Jesus does for each one of us? And what is Jesus saying to you in this story? What is Jesus saying to all of us as a family of faith? We kind of miss the point if we get caught up in the different metaphors and forget that the whole point is the abundant life. The image of the sheep and the shepherd, their sheepfold and the gate, it would have been very familiar to people back then who saw sheep and shepherds all the time. For us, we have to kind of walk back into their shoes. But sheep were valuable resources. They needed a shepherd to take care of them. But shepherds were kind of low down on the social ladder. vital to the culture and the economy, and their job was to keep the sheep safe and healthy, to make sure they stayed alive. Sheep are not the sharpest crayons in the box. They really depend upon the shepherd. Without the leadership and care of the shepherd, they can easily die from disease, starvation, an attack by a predator. Without the shepherd's care, they can be stolen by a thief or abandoned. Sheep are also pretty crazy characters. They do things like fall down on their backs with all their legs up in the air, and that's called being cast down. You actually read about that in the Psalms, don't you? But they need the shepherd to get them back upright. Sheep that are giving birth but sitting uphill can die giving birth instead of just turning around and letting gravity help them. Sheep that see another sheep go off a cliff, what do? They go right off the cliff, following the leader right to their death. Sheep that are not protected from pests and disease, they will perish. And of course, there's all the wolves and the other animals that can attack the sheep without the shepherd's care. So how do the shepherds take care of these crazy sheep? The Bible tells us they listen to the voice of the shepherd. Sheep are smart enough to know the shepherd's voice. So even if they're penned up all together, all different kinds of flocks all together, when the shepherd calls for them, they follow their shepherd's voice. Shepherds would even name their sheep and call them by name. I think this is so cool because Jesus often calls people by name and changes their lives that way. Think of Mary. Him calling Mary by name after he's resurrected there in the garden. Think of Jesus calling Lazarus by name to raise him from the dead. How does Jesus call our name today? In our part of the world, shepherds lead by herding them from behind. But in the Middle East, shepherds lead the sheep. They go before the sheep to help find them the green pastures, the still waters, the safe way. That's why Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters." The shepherd would have also had an enclosure for the sheep at night where there was one way in and out, the gate. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," he's saying that he is the way. He's the way in and out for the sheep. He's the way of safety and security for them. If they go his way, he will keep them together. The shepherd had to keep the flock together because, just as I told the kids, one sheep on its own is a lost sheep. Sheep can survive together, but not on their own. They rely upon one another and that good shepherd. So all throughout the Bible, you find these references to God as the shepherd. Psalm 23 is perhaps the most famous, but there are many other ones. And often the good shepherd, God, is contrasted with evil or false shepherds. Here in John 10, Jesus the good shepherd is contrasted with thieves and bandits. In Ezekiel 34, God says things like, "You shepherds of Israel who feed yourselves, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves, you slaughter the fatlings, you do not feed your sheep, you have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strays, you have not sought the lost." In Isaiah 56, God says, "These shepherds have no understanding. They have turned their own way and ignore the sheep." In Jeremiah 10, 21, God is really blunt. God says, "These shepherds are stupid. They do not seek the Lord, and all their flock is scattered." People back then would have known what Jesus was talking about with sheep and shepherds, and they would have known some of these scriptures and understood the importance of the good shepherd and the sheep staying together. The good shepherd is essential to the sheep staying alive. I read something interesting about Psalm 23 this week. Listen to what it sounds like, Psalm 23, if we remove all the references to the shepherd from the psalm. Verse 1, "My, I shall be in want." Verse 2, "Me, me." Verse 3, my soul, me. Verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Me, me. Verse 5, me in the presence of my enemies, my head, my cup. And verse 6, me all the days of my life, I will dwell. We need the good shepherd because without the shepherd, life is just all about me. Me, me. What if that's part of Jesus' promise of abundant life? We know that for sheep, abundant life is about green pastures and still waters and safety and security, that trusting relationship, knowing that the shepherd will take care of them, living together with the other sheep. But what about us? What if it's the same for all of us? What if we too need those green pastures and still waters, those places of nourishment and refreshment and rest? What if we need the safety and security of knowing that Jesus is looking out for us, the one leading us? Don't we also need that trusting relationship with the shepherd? And maybe even more importantly, don't we need the flock? Don't we need the community of fellow believers, all of us doing life together instead of it being just about me? What if it's supposed to be about us? I think it's safe to say that one of us doing our own thing all alone as a Christian means that we are lost. But that is not what the world would say, is it? We're taught to each pull ourselves up with our bootstraps, to be individuals, to make our own way in the world. But as Christians, our calling is different. An abundant life is life lived in community. A few years ago, a study of nearly 400 Americans found that pursuing happiness, if that's your goal in life, that focuses on taking, while pursuing meaning and purpose focuses on giving. And this is what they found. They found that happiness for a lot of people is feeling good, having good health, and having the money to buy the things you need and want, and that pursuing happiness is actually about being a taker, getting the things you want, and not helping those in need. Pursuing just happiness is really about me. In contrast, the people who were looking for purpose and meaning in their lives, they got a lot of joy from giving to others, from taking care of people, from serving others. People whose lives had high levels of meaning and purpose, they were the ones to help others even when it came at the expense of their own happiness. So researchers wondered, what if that single-minded pursuit of happiness actually makes people less happy, less joyful? Reminds me of what Tolstoy once said. He said, the only certain happiness in life is to live for others. That study makes me wonder, are we trying to find abundant life ourselves, or are we looking to Jesus for that real meaning and purpose in life? It was life and community that Jesus always brought to the lost and the broken. When he healed people, he restored them to community. When he fed people, it was in community. Even his own disciples were a little community that he was a part of. This week in our Wednesday night Bible study, we were talking about Ephesians 4, unity in the body of Christ. And we talked about how important it is for us to find real fellowship and relationships with each other, because we need each other in the church if we're to stay healthy and grow in our faith. I was telling them that one of my biggest dreams for this church has always been for every single person to be in some kind of group in the church. A Bible study, a fellowship group, a group of people serving together. Because it's only in community that we grow in our faith, that we can encourage each other, that we can really hold one another accountable. We can't accomplish all of that on Sunday mornings while we all sit here and then just pass the peace, or even during the coffee time. When Amy and I are working together at the Youth Cafe every Tuesday, we are encouraging one another in our faith. We're growing together in our faith. When the other volunteers at the Youth Cafe, when they serve together, they're creating that community. When the fellowship folks come together for projects, when the Christian Ed folks come together for VBS, when the men get together to talk about the building and work on it, when the music people gather for practice, these are all opportunities to grow, to encourage one another, to grow in our faith if we make the most of that time together. That's why it's so important for us to take time to be together outside of Sunday morning, to talk with each other about our faith, to pray with each other, serve with each other, to grow and deepen our faith. Many churches, big churches, have lots of small groups to accomplish this. We're kind of a small church, so it's challenging to have a lot of little small groups, but we do have many opportunities to be in fellowship and grow together. The question is, are we taking the time to do that? Jesus came that we might have abundant life. He lived and died and was raised from death that we might be forgiven of our sins and given new and eternal life, an abundant life that begins right now, today. And that abundant life is not just for us as individuals. It's for us as a church community, and it even extends beyond our church family. What if Jesus brings us abundant life so that we might help others find that abundant life? I love what Pastor David Luce wrote. He said, "For the man born blind, abundant life is sight, it's independence, it's new opportunity. This invites us to imagine that abundant life might be contextual. For the blind man, it's sight. For the single parent, it might be companionship and help. For the bullied teen, it might be acceptance and an advocate. For the impoverished neighborhood, it might be dignity and the chance for self-determination. For a retiree, it might be involvement in a worthwhile cause." He said, of course, we must pay attention to what is robbing the children of God near us of their abundant life, and we must stand with them against those things that rob them of abundant life so that they might have life and we might have life. Abundant life looks different in different places to different people, but it's always about life and purpose and joy. Is that what you want? And are you looking to Jesus for that life? Are you staying in community to experience that life? And what about your neighbors? Are you helping others to find that abundant life? Because what if by doing so, we actually find it for ourselves? Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Friends, that is the good news of the gospel today. And all the people said, Amen. Please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.